And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. It's so great to be with you today and to invite you into my living room, which is my studio and my offices at Power Prophecy Ministries in Austin, Texas. I'm sitting here. It's a beautiful day, about 70 degrees outside. I'm sorry for you folks up north still have snow. But after all, global warming will eventually take care of that. Maybe by July you'll have some sun. I'm not making fun of you folks that are having all the snowstorms and all that. I'm just saying that the powers that be that declare we've got to do something about global warming, aren't they just silly? They're just ridiculous. Well, I want to tell you about some other powers today, but I don't put them in the subject of ridiculous or silly. They're serious about what they're doing. And they're doing some very dastardly evil things to you, to me, to the whole world, and they are responsible for hundreds of millions of deaths. I'm not exaggerating. I am angry about this. I'm indignant. And I'm determined to shed some light on what has been going on for really 150 years, but the whole thing has escalated amazingly just in our lifetime. And I'm convinced all the things that we've been warned about in Bible prophecy, all the horrors, the plagues, the pestilence, the wars, the bloodshed, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we're right on the verge. I mean, we're fixing to go over the cliff. And I fear we're most of the people in the world are like the hogs, the pigs that are talked about in the New Testament, where Jesus came upon this man in the tombs. There he was, naked, insane, seemingly. They couldn't even keep him down with chains. He would break the chains, the fetters off his hands, and he was living among the tombstones and the dead in a cemetery. And he screamed out when Jesus came near. You know, he screamed out, "Why have you come? Why do you torment me? Son of God, why do you torment me before my time?" Turns out that he was infested with innumerable devils, all in the body of one man. And when Jesus ordered them, commanded them, because after all, the Son of God has power and authority over all things, to reveal their name, they said, "We are legion, for we are many." And knowing that Jesus had such authority and could destroy them, the demons actually begged Jesus Christ. They knew who he was. They had been up in heaven with Jesus. They knew he was the Son of God, and they cried out and they said, "Lord, we know you're the Son of God, and we know something's going to happen to us now, because you're going to free this man. You're going to liberate this man whom we have kept in chains, in slavery, in bondage to Satan. But would you just do us one favor when you cast us out? Would you send us into all of those pigs over there?" Because there was a big herd of pigs. Because evidently the devils just craved to be in some kind of live, warm entity. And, you know, Jesus, that's exactly what he did. He cast the devils out of the man and they went into the pigs. Now, I'm sort of giving you you'll have to read it for yourself. I may be adding a little color here. I don't want to add to the Bible, but this is the way I see it, things as happening. But I've always loved people going back to the King James Bible and seeing it exactly for them, for themselves, because, you know, there should be no private interpretations. But they did go into the pigs, and guess what? Immediately the pigs went insane, went crazy, and rushed over the side of a cliff down to their deaths on the rocks below. Start to where the devils will take you, dear friends, over the cliff and to your death. Well, there are people that are taking all the world. They're in the bodies of human beings, and they're taking millions, billions of people over the cliff. And the amazing thing about it is they actually put their plans to do this, this horrible deed, in a manuscript, a book, you might call it. And we, in this ministry, Power of Prophecy, we're offering that volume, that incredible book, to you. It's called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. The most astonishing thing is how this book came about. You see, around the turn of the century, and I'm talking about going from the 19th into the 20th century, so 110 years ago or so, the Protocols of Zion came about. There are 24 protocols in all, and each one is mind-boggling in its own way. Each one covers a certain area that the Jewish Illuminati, the Learned Elders of Zion, are using to bring about the so-called Jewish utopia, the conquest of planet Earth, and the crowning of their king, whom they call the sovereign of all the world. They actually call him the king despot, the sovereign, the lord of all the world. The sovereign lord, in fact. That's what they call him in their 24 protocols. Each one of the protocols covers a different area. One is education and media. Another one is the financial system. Another one is labor unions and workers. Yet another one has to do with religion, with Christianity. What's going to happen to Christians? Another has to do with the fact that they're planning to dissolve all national borders, all nations, and bring everybody together into a new world order. Every one of the protocols has a different area that it looks at and tells you what is going to happen in that. Now, this has been around. This book actually was published first in Russia in 1901 by a man, a researcher, who had stumbled into it, really. And the name of these protocols of Zion, he put into his book, and later, or book that he wrote, I think it was called The Great Inside the Small, but later he published it as a separate volume, just entitled The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. His name was Sergius Nilus, N-I-L-U-S. Mr. Nilus published this because he wanted to warn the world of this horrible plot of these Illuminati Jews, the Elders of Zion. Many note that in 1897, just 4 years before the first publication by Mr. Sergius Nilus in Russia of the Protocols of Zion, there was a great world congress, you might say, of Zionism in Basel, Switzerland. And a man named Theodor Herzl, who was a communist and a Zionist, funded by Rothschild interest, and many other representatives of Zionist socialism, communism, etc., all met there in Basel, Switzerland, and they came out with a master plan of how they were going to not only achieve the establishment of their nation of Israel in the Middle East, that was then called just Palestine, but that they would go on their symbolic serpent, that's right, a symbolic, they believe the Jewish people are a serpent people. The Jews themselves believe this, the Kabbalistic rabbis, and their serpent, which is themselves, would proceed to encircle the whole world, embrace it, squeeze it, constrict it, kill the whole world, and then take it over, and then massacre all the Gentiles who would not bow down to them. This was the master plan, but it has its specifics detailed, elaborated on in the Protocols of Zion. Nilus was shocked at finding this, and you'll have to understand that when a document like this is promulgated, by the highest level Rothschild, Herzl, Karl Marx type Jews, Vladimir Lenin and Trotsky and others were all in there and involved with that group. They get such a volume as the Protocols of Zion, they don't put it in bookstores. They don't publicize it to the world in advertisements. No. It's a secret document, and it's typed up and passed around, mostly using Masonic lodges as a distribution tool. And at the time, Russia was infested with Masonic lodges, and those Masonic lodges were all supervised and led by Jews. And therefore, a copy of the protocols got out. Because the dumbed-down Gentiles, the Goyim, as the Jews call them, are also, many of them are also Masons. And whatever is the case, somehow this protocols manuscript came out. Now, friends, it's been my experience over the years, and I've been working in this area of conspiracy science research for a quarter of a century, that no matter how much the elite try to bottle up information, some of it leaks out. You know, I mentioned to you that over the years we've had several widows whose husbands died, and they contacted the ministry, and they didn't even know what they were offering. They said, Tex Mars, my husband just passed away, and he was a high-level Freemason, and I know he was into some unsavory things, because I went through all of his personal papers and effects, and I found all of these strange and bizarre Masonic materials. I don't know what they are, but they seem very mysterious and evil, and I was going to just throw them in the trash can. And I thought, well, wait, Tex Mars talks about those topics. Maybe I'll offer them to the ministry. Would you like to have them? And of course, my answer is, yes, I'd love to have them. In fact, I'm thinking, and you better send them to me, because the Masonic Lodge maybe will send its agents in there to grab that stuff, and suddenly it'll just disappear. So yes, indeed, send them to me. And they sent me these books, and I was amazed. You know, I go around all the used bookstores and the rare bookstores and bookshops and try to find information like this, and then suddenly God just has these lovely widows who just send it to me, unexpected. I believe the protocols of the learned elders of Zion came forth in such a way as that. Now, in 1917, the communist socialists, really the Zionists, because all of the communists mostly were Jews, one of them was named Alexander Kerensky, and he was sort of the first leader after the czars were overthrown. Now, he was only in office a little bit less than a year, and then Vladimir Lenin. During the November Revolution, it was called, became the leader of the of Soviet Russia and began the Great Red Terror and bloodshed. But Kerensky was sort of the transitional leader. But he was Jewish too. He was a Freemason. And it's interesting, one of the first things that Kerensky did, you know, after overthrowing the Tsar and taking over the government in the Kremlin in Moscow, was to order the arrest of Sergius Nilus. Now, I want you to think of something, because we're going to get into the text, the actual meat of the Protocols of Zion in a little while. Now, some people say, oh, that's just a silly, stupid book. It's just foolish. There's no Jewish conspiracy. How dumb can you get, Tex Mars? And they tell people, don't pay any attention to that. Oh, it's like comic book reading. Ha, ha, ha. Don't even read it. It means nothing. Well, if that's so, what were they worried about? Why were they so concerned that knowledge would escape out of Russia and go abroad, and that people, Gentiles everywhere, might become aware of this conspiracy? Is that what they were all worried about? Why is it that Sergius Nilus, this poor Russian, was hunted down, tracked down, arrested, imprisoned, tortured unmercifully, and then put to death by the communist Jews who had seized power in Moscow. What were they worried about? What did Mr. Nilas do to deserve death by putting out this book, these 24 protocols of the learned elders of Zion? If they were such comedy material, what harm could they do? And why kill a person for free speech? Even if Mr. Nilas made it all up, which he didn't, and I'll prove that to you a little later on in the show, the communists claimed they were bringing democracy and freedom, even free speech, to Russia. After overthrowing the Tsar, we're going to bring, we have a constitution, we believe in free speech, free, all these liberties. Oh, yes. Speak up and you die if it's about certain subjects. And Kerensky went further. He put out an edict that anyone in Russia or any of the republics that Russia had conquered and was controlling, caught with a copy of the protocols, would be arrested and executed immediately. It was a capital offense to even own a copy or to have possession of a copy of the protocols of Zion. But why? Interesting, isn't it? They wanted to shut up the door of knowledge. And that's why, dear friends, the same thing has happened here in America. You cannot find the protocols of the learned elders of Zion in any bookstore throughout America. There's none that I know of. Well, maybe Brave New Books downtown in Austin, Texas. There are a few patriot folks like Brave New Books that, you know, have the courage to display and to sell books like this. But I saw that pretty soon the free speech here, the freedom to tell the truth about the Illuminati Zionist and their horrible plan that's been worked now for over 100 years, it would soon vanish from the face of the earth unless I, Tex Mars, did something about it. And I determined that through the publishing arm of Power of Prophecy Ministries, I would put out a fresh new edition of the international classic Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And we have. We put a nice cover on it. I wrote a new foreword, brand new foreword for the book. And we're offering it to you. And I'm going to tell you a little later on how you can get your personal copy of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Now, thank God, we still have some semblance, some vestiges of a free country. And I can tell you the truth here over the air, over international internet radio, over the American Voice Network, over WWCR radio out of Nashville, shortwave radio being broadcast across this earth. We can tell you the truth. How long we're going to be able to do this, I don't know. There may be retribution for us having the courage and the audacity, as the Jews would say, to put out this book. Now, I believe in a free marketplace of ideas. You know, somebody asked me recently, Tex, do you think that we should burn the Talmud, the Jewish Talmud, their so-called sacred holy book that has no connection with the Old Testament? No, the Jews' holy book, their book of laws, the Halakha, is all contained in the Jewish Talmud, and it's a horrible, monstrous, despicable book. It calls Jesus and Mary terrible names. I can't even tell you. I don't even want to go into the Talmud today. But I want to tell you this much. I've studied the Talmud, and much of what it says is going to happen and what the Jews are supposed to do in taking over the world is also detailed in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Here's what I believe. I believe the elite Jews, the Zionist Illuminati, they know that if you read the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, you will know what's really going on in the world, and then you will tie it in with the Talmud, their holy book. And then you will know that this is both a religious, a political, and even an economic prescription for global domination. And they want to keep all these things secret. You know, Helen Thomas, former of the United Press International, the very brave journalist, about 90 years old, who finally came out of the closet and told the truth about Israel, and for it was fired. You know, she was at all those presidential White House news conferences. But when she came out and told the truth about Israel, what's been going on with Palestine, boy, she was fired from her job. But she knows these things are true. And she was asked in an interview recently, they were trying to make fun of her for believing in this conspiracy. And they said, well, you know, the Jews are less than 2% of the Americans. And they're only a small infinitesimal, a little bitty percentage of the world's population. Ha, ha, ha. And you say that they're controlling the world. How can that be? And you know, Helen just got mad about that question. Of all things, it was an interview by Playboy magazine. You know, they have these monthly interviews with famous people. And she came back to the interviewer and said, you're Jewish, aren't you? And the guy, I guess, rather sheepishly said, yes. So they assign a Jewish interviewer to interview Helen Thomas and to try to make fun and ridicule her. This woman who was given all kinds of awards as a great journalist and news reporter for, you know, 70 years or something like that, until she started telling the truth about Israel and the Jews. Then suddenly she couldn't do anything right. They turned on her like a snake, like a serpent, which is what they themselves admit that they are in their plans. And then a smutty, terrible magazine, she shouldn't even been given an interview, but I think she really wants to get out the word on this, Playboy, that, by the way, was founded by one of the most wicked and stupid and satanic men of all times, a Jew, Hugh Hefner, and today Playboy Corporation is run by his wicked, sordid daughter. That's right, the daughter of Hugh Hefner should be ashamed of herself, but I guess like father, like daughter, she's running what's left of the Playboy empire. They're Jews. And now to try to embarrass Helen Thomas, they asked if they could interview her, and then they assigned a Jew to do it. Well, if they're only 2% of the population of America, how is it that the greatest pornography, as I call it, empire in America, the Playboy Foundation and group, is run by Jews? How is it that their magazine is published by Jews? How is it that in interviewing Helen Thomas, they assigned a Jewish interviewer? How is it that if they have no control, no power in America, the instant that Helen Thomas said one thing about the Jews publicly, she was fired from her job and her press credentials to be at the White House in the press conferences was taken away from her. They have the power to destroy the reputation, to slander, to defame, to demote anyone in America, almost anyone. But they can't do it to Tex Mars. Oh, they can put pressure. They can send the IRS, the FBI. Well, they've already done those things. They could do it again to harass, to intimidate, to bully me. But I don't care. I care, but you know, what can you do? You got to keep going forward. You got to keep telling the truth. The truth stands on its own. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. I stand on the truth. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who exposed the Jewish commissars and the rabbis who were the actual commandants of so many Soviet gulags who murdered tens of millions of Christians in Soviet Russia. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was called the conscience of the 20th century, once said that one word of truth outweighs the whole world. One word of truth. Put it on a scale, it outweighs the whole world. Well, we're going to give you some truth today about international Zionism. Now, to those who say, I don't believe it, it's a forgery, I love you. It just, the authors, whoever they were, of Protocols of Zion, just plagiarized earlier works. So it can't be true. I love you. You've given me a great opportunity to explain that. That is, listen, oh my goodness. I only regret that knowing they know what I know, and they're afraid to put me on shows like O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, and you know, the CNN talk shows and MSNBC, CBS, ABC, 2020. They're frightened to death to put Tex Mars on those talk shows. And if they did, they'd have to edit out 99% of what I say because they're afraid for you to find out about it. But I want to tell you something. Nobody edits my shows. Nobody. Now, every once in a while, Jerry tells me, he goes through, you know, when I do a program, and he says, when you say or ah, every once in a while I'll edit out that. Okay, so I'll admit my program's edited. There's a few uhs and ahs that are taken out. I don't know why I even do that. Just let me be what I am. But, you know, I guess he tries to make me look a little bit better than I am. But basically, I tell all my guests, they say, now, is this going to be edited? And before it goes on air, I say, nope, so better watch what you say. You better tell the truth and nothing else. And they go, they laugh because most of the guests that I have, well, all of them, they're truth tellers too. And they will testify that when I have a guest on, I had Victor Thorne, just did a program with Victor, and I think it's going to air a little bit later on about 2 weeks from now or so. Yeah, 2 weeks of Victor Thorne's program will air on New World Order Assassins. Boy, you'll want to listen to that one. But when we began the program, as I often do with my guest, I said, now, Victor, before we begin, let me tell you, you take the program anywhere you want to. You can say anything you want to, because I know you're going to tell the truth. So you just have a good time and fun telling the truth. And my guests, you know, they're like, what? Because I'll tell you, friends, I've been on a lot of radio programs. They say, by the way, Tex, would you please not say this or that? Or would you not say anything about this Jewish group or that Jewish organization? You know, my radio station, the manager here, you know, has told me to keep quiet about that or you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, sure. So, you know, I say, well, ask me a question related to that. I might say something, but you're the host. Ask me what you want to. Oh, okay. Well, I sure don't want to talk about that subject. And, of course, sometimes I talk about those subjects anyway. If I'm led to, I just go ahead and do it. And they never invite me back. So, but I, you know, if you visited our ministry, and some of you have, when you walk in the front door of Power of Prophecy Ministries, just look on the wall there. There actually is a plaque on the wall. Jerry Barrett, who's with me here in the studio, will verify that. It says, you know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I'll tell you, there's something else. Have we put this? I think it's on the wall too in there. My mind's going a little blank here. We've been at this radio for quite a while today. But there's a verse in the book of Revelation that I absolutely cherish and love, where Jesus Christ, it is said that he openeth the door and no man can shut it. And he shutteth the door, and no man can open it. You know, when people have shut me down off of a radio program or something, or closed up, you know, doors to Power Prophecy Ministry to Tex Mars, I always say, well, thank God. You know why? God will open new doors. And no one can shut them. When we come back, I'm going to tell you just why that is. But you're going to learn what the Protocols of Zion are all about, what they call for, why Henry Ford said there is a world program of the Jews, why Carl Lindbergh, the great aviator, believed in them, and why it's more important than ever that you and I know exactly what is called for in the protocols. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power Prophecy. Stay with us. We're going to be right back after this. Tex Mars again. Friends, I was just telling you about Henry Ford, the great industrialist, founded Ford Motor Company. He said back in 1920, in fact, he wrote an entire book. It was articles that were first published in the Dearborn Michigan Independent newspaper. Then it was, all the articles were collected and put into a book called The International Jew by Henry Ford. He said that the protocols fit history to a T. He knew they were not a forgery or a hoax, for he had personally observed how for the previous two decades or so since their publication, history had unfolded in strict accordance with their prescription. Many others, too, have known the truth about the protocols. And it has caused the Jewish elite to be furious every time another edition of the protocols come out. The protocols have traveled around the world, and the Jewish serpent keeps banging over the head anyone who dares to publish them. So much so that no standard publisher dare to do it, and no bookstore chain will venture to put them on the shelf. But we've published the book. Our publishing arm, Rivercrest Publishing, has done so. And I am proud that I have written the foreword, and I have in the Protocols of Zion book that we offer to you, and I'm going to tell you how to get your copy of it. We have several sections out of Henry Ford's book, The International Jew. You'll see what he had to say. We've taken sort of the highlights of what the great Henry Ford said about the Jews and put them in this book. And there's some commentary by other sources, too, in this book. So you get more than just the 24 protocols, although they enough will just boggle your mind, believe me. And they're so packed, they're so condensed that each one of the protocols, you have to go back and read it again and again and go over each and every sentence because they're packed with meaning. It's like a condensed Illuminati plan. But it is a blueprint for global domination. And I want you to have a copy of the protocols. Now, the title is big. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And actually, some editions had, they ended with comma 33rd degree. And in the protocols, they talk a lot about the Masonic Jews. We, the Masons. Whoa. Of course, that fits in because the Masonic Lodge is built on the foundation of the Jewish Kabbalah. Albert Pike, who designed the 33 rituals, ceremonies of the Scottish Rite Lodge, the largest in the world, said, "Our wisdom, our knowledge comes from the Jewish Kabbalah." He said that in his book, Morals and Dogma. Isn't that interesting? The Jews gave us Freemasonry, but they gave us many other sects, cults, false religions as well. And they gave us the protocols. Now, our new edition of the protocols, beautifully covered with all the Texmars information in it, the foreword, and Henry Ford's materials, are yours for just $20. Be the only one in your town or village or city to have a copy. Give copies to your friends. They'll love you for it. Of course, they'll be perplexed and bewildered and maybe frightened out of their minds, but that's okay. If they disagree with what the protocols are, ask them why Henry Ford believed in them. If they're ridiculous and so comic bookish, do you think that Henry Ford was a comedian? No, he was a very insightful, shrewd businessman. Do you think that aviator Carl Lindbergh was an idiot? No. Very wise person. But he believed in the protocols, and it makes you wonder about, well, who really kidnapped his son, the infant Lindbergh, and murdered him? Think about that. They have their ways of getting back at their critics, don't they? And as the Jews say in their infamous motto, never forgive, never forget. That's their motto. Now, $20, that's what we ask for this book, and that'll help us keep publishing books like this and others that no one has the courage to take on. We want you to have this book. And you know what, friends? I believe God has opened the door to knowledge. That's why we're offering this book. Go down to Barnes & Noble or Barter's or the other book chain, you can't find it, but you can order it from our website. It's on powerofprophecy.com. It's 20 $5. It's 320 pages long. Add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. You can also get the Protocols of Zion by phoning us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. And don't worry, we're not going to give out your name to anybody. We don't have a, you know, as long as you're on our mailing list, we're not going to give your name out to anybody. Okay? Totally secret. And that's the way we've always been. If you're an active supporter and giver of our ministry, you order things from us, well, okay. You know, we're not going to, when I say give, I mean to outside. If an FBI agent came out and said, can I see your list? Get lost. You're not going to get our list. Okay. Now, you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, and order it. You can send $25. That'll cover all shipping and handling, postpaid. Write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Just ask for the Protocols book or Protocols of Zion, and we'll send it right out to you. Now let's return to our program. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're discussing the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Now, it was 1905 when Sergius Nilus put out a version, not a version, but the Protocols of Zion. Now, even up to our modern time, I see book after book being published trying to discredit the protocols. Now, think of this. You cannot buy in bookstores the protocols themselves. But entire bookshelves are full of books trying to discredit and defame the Protocols of Zion. It's some kind of a weird thing when they say, oh, there's this terrible book out there, this terrible volume. Now, we're not going to let you buy the volume and read it for yourself, but we will tell you what to think about it. It's a horrible book. It's a forgery. It's a hoax. It's a lie. You can believe us. You can trust us. We tell the truth. Oh, you want to buy it yourself and check out for yourself? We can't allow that. What? You don't trust us? Uh-oh. You're a bad, bad person. That's sort of the approach. I was reading a lot of stuff on the internet, and the Jews put all this stuff out. And they say it's a hoax. It's a plagiarization. It's a forgery. Well, then my curious mind said, okay, so you think it's a forgery or a hoax. It's plagiarizing. Would you please tell me what it's a hoax about? It's a forgery of what? Well, they all come back and say, well, you see, the protocols came out around 1905 in Russia first, and then they spread to London, and then different editions of them have been published around the world, even in the Arabic world. But really, 1905, a lot of the materials in the Protocols of Zion were in earlier books. And I say, well, name one. They say, well, the main one is a book published way back in 1864 by a man named Maurice Joly, J-O-L-Y. A Frenchman. And they say, you see, Maurice, this is now the Jews. This is their story, and they're sticking with it. They say Maurice Joly, this Frenchman, wrote and published a book entitled Dialogue in Hell between Machiavelli and Montesquieu. The Dialogue. Dialogue in Hell between Machiavelli and Montesquieu. And Maurice Joly, in this book, had a lot of material that when you put it, you know, side by side with what's in the protocols, it matches up. Sometimes word for word. Now, not the whole book protocols, but a lot of the material. So see, it's not even an original book. It's stolen from other sources. And I began to think about that. So, friends, what I did was I went out and I started going to all these other sources they talked about. And since all of the Jews who say the protocols are not true and are a forgery and hoax and plagiarization, they all mention the Maurice Joly book. So, naturally, Tex Mars wants to get the Maurice Joly book and see about it. And sure enough, there's a lot of material from Maurice Joly in the protocols. But here's the kicker, and I love this. Who was Maurice Joly? Well, he was a communist. He was a socialist. In fact, by his own words, Maurice Joly said he was an anarchist who was a Jacobin. That means he was one of those who, back during the French Revolution, when they cut off the heads of their opponents, and the Illuminati and the Masonic lodges were rampant in murdering people throughout Europe, it turns out he was one of the Jacobins. He said, "I am a Jacobin." He was a very dedicated communist who liked to, he first said he was a communist, and he said, "Oh, I'm a socialist. I'm a socialist." Yeah, they like to disguise who they are, you see. So Maurice Joly then has this book, Dialogue in Hell Between Machiavelli and Montesquieu. Well, think of the title there, Dialogue in Hell. And who are Machiavelli and Montesquieu? Well, as it turns out, they also are revolutionaries. And Machiavelli, read his book, The Prince. And in it, he recommends, you know, dirty dealings, underhandedness, deception by world rulers if they want to rule their people. Read Machiavelli. I mean, the very term Machiavellian came out of that. In other words, be underhanded, secretive, cheat people, deceive people. Well, isn't that what our government's doing? Isn't that what governments around the world do? Most world leaders, if they're smart enough, shrewd enough, being led by Satan, are Machiavellian. And as far as Montesquieu, Montesquieu was one of the guys that was calling for revolutions around the world. So Maurice Joly said, well, maybe these people are down in hell, but I like what they're doing. I believe in the same things they did, basically. Fascinating, isn't it? Now, here's the point about it. I have found that almost all Satanists, almost all worshipers of Satan, and people who are into the Kabbalah and Jewish magic are plagiarizers. They're all forgers. They borrow from others. Now, doesn't it make sense to you that about the time the Protocols of Zion came out, they had this big World Zionist Congress. And here were hundreds of revolutionaries and communists and socialists funded by, you know, people like the Rothschilds. And they all came together. Now, wouldn't it make sense that they said, we need a glorious, unified blueprint or plan? We need to come up with something we can all follow as a guideline on how we're going to take over the world. And so they went out and they said, let us review, take a look at all of the revolutionary literature throughout history. And let's find little tidbits, little nuggets of wisdom in these various books and sources by earlier authors that will help us put together for today and the future a master plan. That's the way they do it. You know, friends, when I write a book, I research and I get thousands and thousands of people who have said things on these subjects. I get rare books and I get old articles and I look for hidden knowledge and all kinds of things. And I put the book together. Now, I don't hide the authorship. I try to give credit to anyone who I've quoted or referenced. But a lot of crooks and liars and deceitful people give no credit or attribution to the ones they've stolen from. Do you think when they put out the Protocols of Zion, they're going to give Maurice Joly credit? No, they just steal his stuff. There is no honor among thieves. It makes perfect sense to me that I realized, well, of course they took material from Joly. Why not? He had a brilliant book, Dialogue in Hell Between Machiavelli and Montesquieu. It was a brilliant book. And he was an evil communist socialist Jacobin himself. And so when these evil communist socialist Jacobins got together around the year 1897 during the Basel, Switzerland World Zionist Congress meeting, sponsored by the so-called Father of Israel, Theodor Herzl and Rothschild, one of their primary sources would be what? The works of Maurice Joly. You know, it is said in his own works by Albert Pike, the Sovereign Grand Commander of Freemasonry, that a lot of his book, Morals and Dogma, came from the works of another man in the 19th century named Eliphas Levi, who was a Satanist. And the works of Helena Blavatsky, the founder of theosophy and a Satanist. She had books like Isis Unveiled and others. The Secret Doctrine was the title of one of her books. And admittedly, she got her ideas from people that had come before her. Now, this can be a good thing or a bad thing. I recommend people, when they're going to write a book on conspiracies, that they look at the works of others who have gone before them. It's a smart thing to do. If I were elected president of the United States, I would want to go back in history and say, okay, now I'm president. I want to be a good president. I want to serve the people of America. Let me go back and see what George Washington said and did. Let me see how Thomas Jefferson ruled this country. What were his policies? How about John Quincy Adams and so forth? Of course you want to go back to these men and their writings to do good. You look in the good of others who came before you, but to do evil, you go to the works and the words of those who came before you as well. When Beelzebub writes a book, he just goes to other Beelzebubs. Isn't that the way it goes? It made perfect sense to me that the protocols would use the materials of all of these Jacobists and Satanists who had come before them. And I laughed when they said, well, this book seems to be a lot just like Maurice Joly's book. And I went, yeah, duh. Doesn't that prove to you that it's legitimate, that it's authentic? You see, satanic ideas don't just come out of a vacuum. You don't have a satanic writer or committee of Illuminati Jews who sit in a room and turn off the lights and say, oh, great Satan, guide my hand of where I can write a book. They say, we look back at our peers who lived before us, whom our great father of light, Satan, inspired to do mighty works. And we borrow from their works so that evolutionary-wise, step by step, progressively, we will conquer the world through the ideas of all of our successors. Friends, there is a chain, a pyramidal step process that's going on through Satan. And if you look at Satan's world religion today, it didn't spring out of nothing. It came all the way out of ancient Babylon, so that the religious process that went on there, the false gods, the goddesses, the doctrines, the rituals, the satanic sacrifices, everything that occurred in Babylon has been patterned and mimicked and echoed throughout the centuries. So when you get to Judaism and its Talmud or the Roman Catholic Church and its New Catholic Catechism, it's not new. It's plagiarized and borrowed from the old Satan stuff. So I want to tell you right now, Judaism is not new. When Jeremiah prophesied that Israel would fall and Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians would take the Jews captive and bring them, you know, in captivity all the way to Babylon, and they were there for 70 years before they were able to return by the graces of Cyrus, the Greek, who conquered Nebuchadnezzar's empire of Babylon. They learned all this evil and magic, and the Kabbalah resulted from that. The Jewish Kabbalah, the Talmud of the Jews, is not original. It's a forgery. The whole Jewish religion, Jesus said, was not the Old Testament. It was the commandments of men, the traditions of men. And who were those men? They were the Babylonians. They had learned so well, too well, when they were in Babylon. And the Jewish rabbis, having left the fold of God and his kingdom, were enamored of what they saw in Babylon. Look at the riches of great Babylon. Look at their gods and goddesses. Look at their religions. We loved this. They learned so much from Babylon. And when they came back to Jerusalem, they infused, they implanted in the official Judaic religion much of what they had discovered in Babylon, and they pretended it was of their own minds. They pretended that their God, whoever that was, it was Satan, really, had given them these new commandments, and they used them instead of the Old Testament for their religion. And so Jesus says, you encompass the whole world, you Jews, just to make one new disciple, convert, in other words. And then you turn him into twice the child of hell that you are. But in converting and finding this disciple and training him, what was their textbooks? What is their catechism for training? It's the Babylonian stuff that they had learned. The protocols of Zion indeed takes from the old ancient Kabbalistic satanic books and literature of the past. And it puts in a modern form, in a package, just one horrible, monstrous package, a formula, a plan, a blueprint for global domination. So now you understand that when somebody says, oh, I understand that was a forgery, you need to laugh and say, indeed it was. If they could, the Jewish rabbis would actually access the great library down in infernal hell and say, what books down here will help us write the blueprint? Think about that. They're not such good men that they're not forgers, and they'll steal material from anywhere. They do. You know, I have found, it's quite an interesting thing. I was studying the life of Albert Einstein, the greatest genius in the world, but wait. Turns out that old Albert Einstein, who was Jewish, was a lowly patent clerk at the patent and trademark office. I think it was in Switzerland. There he was, making just enough money barely to live. But one day he came upon, you know, a submission. Someone, a physicist, had submitted an idea that he wanted, you know, trademarked, or whatever they called it. He sent it to the patent office. And Albert Einstein was assigned that one to see if they should give a patent for it. Turned out to be the theory of relativity. And Einstein was so impressed with it, he just appropriated it, claimed later on that it was his own. So Einstein came up with the theory of relativity that he had stolen while he was a lowly clerk at the patent office. And he became rich and famous all over the world for this theory that wasn't even his. He had stolen it. He plagiarized it. The greatest genius in the world, this Jew, Albert Einstein, was a hoax. But let's go further. George W. Bush just came out with his memoirs. If you really believe he actually wrote one sentence of that book, I have some swamp land in Louisiana I'd like to sell you at a very high price. I can go to Christendom, which is so scorched today with apostasy and evil, and it's a very sad thing. But I'm not talking about the Christian church. I'm talking about the Christian establishment. The Christian church is without spot or wrinkle because Jesus Christ keeps it strong and pure. But there is a Christian establishment that is sick and disgusting. I found out over the years that a homosexual man named Mel White was a ghostwriter who wrote the books for Jerry Falwell, Oliver North, Billy Graham. Pat Robertson had a ghostwriter. Well, Barack Obama, he wrote a book, supposedly every word of it, called Dreams of My Father, sort of an autobiography and a book that he wanted to let the world know, you know, what he really believed in the dreams of his father. He has dreams of a communist Muslim from Kenya. Turns out that a terrorist, a bomber who killed people, an anarchist communist named William Ayers, was a big buddy of Bill Clinton. Barack Obama. And now Ayers has admitted that he was the ghostwriter for Barack Obama. Well, you didn't really think that Barack Obama actually wrote his own books, did you? You know, Joseph Biden actually ran for president about a decade ago, long before he became vice president under Barack Obama. But he dropped out of the race when it was found out that his speeches he were given were all stolen. They were the same speeches given over in Great Britain by a political leader over there. His aides felt like nobody in America would know that they were the same speeches. In other words, they just plagiarized speeches by a British politician. He admitted that he had plagiarized them and dropped out of the race. Hal Lindsey sold more books in the 20th century as a Christian author than anyone else. They say 25 to 50 million copies of the late great Planet Earth sold. But Hal Lindsey was a tugboat captain who, I don't know if he's ever written more than a paragraph in his whole life.
a woman named Carla Carlson wrote his book. But Hal Lindsey became famous and made millions and millions of dollars from a book that was pro-Zionist, pro-Israel, because publishers in New York, who gave him all these millions of dollars and made his book a star book, wanted that idea out there, that the Jews were God's chosen people and that Israel was blessed and all this other nonsense. So they got a woman, or somebody did, named Carla Carlson, and she wrote the book. But she hadn't been going around on TV shows. I bet they didn't give her millions of dollars. She was just a worker bee, wasn't she? Now, friends, I've actually authored books that have been published by New York publishing houses. And they're the kings of theft. They put out books all the time that are hoaxes, that are forgeries. Yeah, they do. I mean, I can't say for sure, but Barbara Walters, Whoopi Goldberg, all of those that put out books, Rosie O'Donnell, I can't see any of them writing any of their own books. I mean, do you really think Rosie O'Donnell or Whoopi Goldberg is able to write a book? Oh, please. Please. Ghostwriters are everywhere. You know, I was approached by a top Christian publisher some years ago. They wanted me to write a book for them. At that time, you know, I hadn't yet come out against the Jews. And so, you know, I was beloved among the Christian bookstores and everything. And I had 3 number one bestsellers. And so the biggest Christian publisher out there sent an editor right here to meet me in Washington, Austin. And we all went out to dinner with this editor, Juan and I did. And she, the editor, said, "We'd like for you to do a book." I said, "About what?" She said, "On any subject." I said, "Well, you know, I have to tell you, God has given me an agenda of what to write." She said, "Well, that's good. We'll write on any subject and we'll publish it." I said, "Well, right now I'm doing videos and I don't," she says, "Well, we would love to have a book of yours as soon as possible. Why don't we just get a ghostwriter? And you tell them what the topic is and give them just a little bit of information and they can do all the research for you and all the writing and everything. You just put your name on it." And I just looked, my jaw sort of dropped. That was before I realized how much ghostwriting there was out there. And I said, "No, thank you. I write all my books." And I'll tell you, it's a labor of love. It's a work. It is hard, hard work. But you know, nothing good ever came out of being lazy. And I love working hard and writing these books. I love telling the truth. Why should I have a ghostwriter? That's dishonest. That's a lie. I don't think God would make me be happy doing that. But hey, I can honestly believe that the Protocols of Zion is the combined work of the diseased minds of men like Maurice Joly and Montesquieu and Machiavelli and many others, mostly Jews. It's the culmination of evil. And you need to know what is in this book. Now again, if we look at history, if we look at what happened in Soviet Russia, if we look at what's happening in the world today, we have to be very, very afraid for the future of the world, the future of America, economically. What's going on with this financial collapse? The Great Recession we're in right now, the fall of the dollar, even the wars in the Middle East, all of this is found in the protocols that were written 110 years ago. Get your copy of it today, please, and know, and be ready. Prepare in advance. This is Tex Mars. It's been so great being with you again, sharing these things. And, you know, it's just wonderful to be among friends. And you are my friend. You're really my family. Well, until next time, it's been my privilege to be here. And my fervent prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.